And we return 7 minutes past 1 o'clock. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper with you along with Bonnie Berman. This hour we discuss advanced practice registered nurses as primary care medical providers. With vibrant health care expenditures, nurse practitioners offer care at lower cost. But are there risks involved? Joining us now is Dr. Aura Strickland, Ph.D. She's the Dean of FIU's College of Nursing and Healthcare Sciences. Welcome to you, Dr. Strickland.
Thank you.
Also with us is Dr. Sheldon Fields, Ph.D., Assistant Dean for Clinical Affairs and Health Policy at FIU's College of Nursing and Health Sciences. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
I have a question for, I guess, either of you. What, if any, is the difference between a physician's assistant, an advanced registered nurse practitioner, and a nurse practitioner in terms of training and scope of practice?
A nurse practitioner has a much more comprehensive background of education. A nurse practitioner is first trained as a registered nurse at the baccalaureate or college level. And then they go on and get, at minimum, a master's degree or a doctorate in nursing practice. So a nurse practitioner has a much broader scope of healthcare education and much broader scope of practice than a physician's assistant. A physician's assistant generally gets their clinical training in about 2 years, and their training tends to be more focused on medical care interventions and procedures, whereas nurse practitioners are actually trained to manage chronic diseases, diagnose and manage chronic diseases, and provide care to patients over the long haul, and to develop long-term plans of care and implement them.
Okay. And is the legislation that you want to get passed for physician's assistants as well as advanced registered nurse practitioners?
Advanced registered nurse practitioners is the Florida way of describing what nurse practitioners are. All nurse practitioners in their various kinds under the state law are advanced registered nurse practitioners.
Okay.
It is the state designation. The legislation is very much focused on opening up the Nurse Practice Act to allow what we call full scope of practice, so that nurse practitioners in the state of Florida can practice to the full extent of their training and licensure, which we currently cannot do in the state of Florida.
Okay, and what other than prescribing controlled substances, what else can't they currently do that you're trying to change?
The other thing that they can't do is be able to order directly home care services. That also has to be done primarily by a physician.
Okay.
What does that mean? Go into more detail.
Well, if a patient needs home care services
for if they're terminally ill or...
Doesn't matter. For whatever reason, that order can't be written originally by a nurse practitioner. It has to be written by a physician. And it's really not necessary because the patient may actually be only being seen by the nurse practitioner. The physician may not have ever even seen the patient, and they have to write an order for a patient that they've never even seen. So the nurse practitioner should be able to fully be able to write and provide that order in the service, as well as the prescription drug issue.
Okay.
Dr. Strickland, you talked about all of the extended training that the nurse practitioners go through, mm-hmm. but doctors have years of training, they have residency, and what about nurse practitioners as far as diagnostic skills?
What a lot of people often don't understand about medical training is that for many medical schools, FIU is different, many medical students never see a patient. They get the intellectual knowledge and background in training, whereas in nursing, at the baccalaureate level, nurses actually start their internship and clinical practice during college and in the last 2 years of their college experience, get a lot of in-depth training in assessment, diagnosis, management, and cure of all kinds of conditions. And then, in terms of the nurse practitioner, they go on for a graduate degree where they still continue to get a minimum of an additional 2 years of clinical education and training in diagnosis, management, and treatment and cure of patients with all kinds of clinical conditions. And so when you really look at it, their training in terms of exposure to patients is quite much more extensive than most people coming out of medical school.
Well, say, besides surgery, what would APRNs, what circumstances would be beyond them?
Advanced registered nurse practitioners do not do major surgery.
Right.
We can do minor things like suture and things of that nature. Advanced registered nurse practitioners do not pretend to or want to do any major surgeries, any major procedures that require the specialist to do, the medical specialist to do.
But beyond surgery, then, what is beyond the scope of the APRNs?
Physicians in this country, and we should be very proud of how we educate physicians in this country. Physicians in this country are super specialists.
Could you just answer the question?
Yes. They have knowledge in the biomedical sciences, genetics, immunology, and other sciences where they can not only make diagnosis healthcare problems, but their knowledge is very extensive in the sciences where they can evaluate and treat much more extensively.
What would be the benefits? I'm a little confused about this prescribing controlled substances. What would be the benefits of allowing nurses to, or registered nurses, to prescribe these opiates and narcotics? I'm assuming that they can already prescribe uncontrolled drugs. Is that right?
Yes. Nurse practitioners in the state of Florida can prescribe other medications. And it's not just the registered nurse. We're only talking about the nurse practitioners, the ones who have advanced training.
Right.
The benefit really is about access. And it's about being able to service a patient in their needs at the time they have them. If a patient is coming to see me as a nurse practitioner and needs a narcotic prescription, I should not have to go find a physician collaborator in order to write that prescription. I should be able to write it myself. And in every other state in the United States, with the exception of Florida, as a nurse practitioner, I have that independent ability to do so. We are the last state, and it makes no sense.
It's also all about cost. If we have to go through a physician to prescribe a medication we know that a patient needs, that physician bills that patient, and then they get billed again.
By the nurse practitioner.
That's right. The same thing applies in terms of an order for home care. Why should a nurse practitioner? It adds on cost to the patient if we have to bring in a physician to write an order we know that needs to be written.
And ultimately to the system, the cost to the system.
How do physicians feel about the expansion of the scope of practice for advanced registered nurse practitioners? And
most physician colleagues that I've had, first and foremost, do not belong to the AMA, the American Medical Association, and don't support the American Medical Association's stance on not expanding the scope of practice, because they know that in order to really service the 30, the 40 plus million people that are now going to have access to primary care in America because of the Affordable Care Act, we need every provider working to the top of their ability. And that is working as a team. And that's how we're going to approach our healthcare problem. I think most physicians are actually quite supportive.
They are. Tell us other ways the Affordable Care Act is going to change, you know, the administration, the need for primary care physicians.
It's going to change it not only for primary care physicians, but for primary care providers.
Providers.
I think it's a better term to use.
Yes.
Because it's not only going to include your physicians, it's going to include the nurse practitioners. It will also include our physician assistant colleagues. I'm going to be very clear about that. And in that, people are going to have need access points into the system. And the first step will be a primary care provider. Currently, we do not have enough general primary care physicians to really meet that need. And a lot of times in places, especially rural areas, inner city areas, those positions are being filled by nurse practitioners and PAs.
The Affordable Care Act also will place much more care in the community. As you already know, much of hospital care that used to be done in hospitals, patients are sent home earlier and sicker, and therefore are more likely, if they don't get adequate care in the community, will return to the hospital very soon as sick as than when they left. So the Affordable Care Act is really going to push more of the care out into the community, and more care that requires the attention of well-educated nurses out in the community.
We're speaking with Dr. Aura Strickland and Dr. Sheldon Field about expanding nursing scope and areas on today's Topical Current. Should you want to join in the conversation with questions or comments, the number to call is 1-800-743-9576. That's 1-800-743-9576. Or you can email radio@wlrn.org. And we're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to today's Topical Currents, Wednesday edition. Bonnie Berman here with Joseph Cooper. We're speaking about advanced practice registered nurses as primary care medical providers with Dr. Aura Strickland, from the Dean of FIU's College of Nursing and Healthcare Sciences, and Dr. Sheldon Fields, the college's Assistant Dean for Clinical Affairs and Health Sciences. Go ahead.
Dr. Strickland, I'm sure there are many young people in our listening audience now, maybe thinking of a career. Tell us more information about the College of Nursing and Healthcare Sciences.
Well, the College of Nursing and Healthcare Sciences provides education to healthcare professionals in physical therapy, occupational therapy, athletic training. We prepare nurse anesthetists, nurse practitioners, nurse educators. We also prepare people in the for Bachelors of Health Services Administration. So there are many careers that students can come to our college to be prepared for in the healthcare field. We prepare speech therapists as well.
Hmm. We have an emailer, Danielle. She says she's like to make a correction. All medical students see patients in the last 2 years of their medical education, with many medical schools starting clinical rotations within the first 2 years. She's incorrect that medical students do not see patients. I think she may have been referring to the pre-med students,
yes,
who are obviously in bachelor's programs,
right,
and usually do not see patients.
Right, in the pre-med student.
Okay,
year.
That's what she...
But every doctor has to do residency.
Yeah, right.
Period.
And I had opponents of expanding the scope of practice for the ARNPs cite patient safety as a chief concern. They note the differences in the education requirements of physicians. How do you address those issues?
There have been several studies, and most studies conclude that nurse practitioners are as safe, if not safer, than our medical colleagues in giving and providing primary care. A nurse practitioner can provide about 80% of all primary care that's necessary. There are just certain things, quite honestly, you just do not need to see a physician for.
Okay. Do you want to?
Like if you had the flu?
You had a general cold. You needed a checkup. You needed immunization. You need a basic screening. All of those things we can provide very easily. We're trained to do it. It does not require a physician.
Are you more accessible? It's so hard to get in to see doctors often. Are nurse practitioners more accessible?
In certain areas, nurse practitioners are more accessible. And in certain times, you would have a primary care physician. But in between those major visits where you may see your physician, a lot of times you're seeing a nurse practitioner or a PA for those in-between visits. Like, you just need your blood pressure check. You need a finger stick to check your blood sugar levels. Nurse practitioner can do that.
Or if you need management of your diabetes or your hypertension, nurse practitioners are excellent at that.
Let's take a telephone call or two if you'd like to join in the program. Our number, 1-800-743-9576. 1-800-743-WLRN. Also email, that's radio@WLRN.org. First up, we have Melody. She's in Boca Raton. Welcome.
Hi, thank you. I enjoy the program. I listen to it often. I'm actually a physician, and I do work with nurse practitioners, and they provide a valuable service, and I actually personally don't have any problem with expanding their ability to write prescriptions and home care. Actually, I didn't even realize they were limited in being able to prescribe for home health care. But I did want to make a clarification. When physicians go to medical school, we do have patient interaction from our first year, and our last 2 years almost exclusively working with patients as we prepare to start our residencies after medical school is completed.
Yeah. When I was talking about college, I was referring to the pre-medical school years in college.
Oh, okay.
Pre-med students do not have clinical contact until they get into medical school, which would be like our graduate program in nursing at the master's level.
Oh, okay. Yes.
But one of the things I would like to amplify something that you said. A lot of people think that nurse practitioners are trying or will take over the physician role. We really work in close partnership together, and nurse practitioners and physicians work very closely together, and we know that we do a better job when we work together as partners.
Yes, and I found that to be the case as well. They provide, once again, a valuable service to help us as physicians get our job done and to take care of the patients. And I've worked with nurse practitioners who actually even specialize within their practice, just like doctors specialize. And, you know, they are very knowledgeable and know their field very well.
What are some of those specialties?
They'll specialize in pediatrics. I remember when I was in, I'm a pediatrician, and I worked with nurse practitioners who focused in with working with the hematology oncology doctors, and they knew a wealth of information about taking care of cancer patients and patients with hematological problems. So they can be their own specialties within, and that helps them help the doctor even more as they specialize.
That's correct. We have two major categories of nurse practitioners. We have those that are primary care nurse practitioners that work primarily in the community, in clinics, and in that way. We also have what we call acute care nurse practitioners who will specialize in cardiology, and they're highly competent specialists.
Oncology,
neonatal. They work right alongside the neonatologists as neonatal nurse practitioners. And so many hospitals, particularly outside of the state of Florida, are employing acute care nurse practitioners who are on the job almost all the time, especially when their physicians aren't available, and who manage patients on a continuous basis as hospitalists, similar to physicians who are hospitalists.
Well, the Florida legislative session is just a few weeks ago. Oh, thanks for your call, Melody.
Okay,
appreciate
thank you
it.
So much for taking
the
my
legislation,
call.
The legislative session is coming up, but what's the prospect for changes that you're looking for?
The bill to expand the scope of practice has been introduced in the Florida legislature year after year. And we're really hoping that it at least gets a vote out of committee.
It hasn't even gotten out of committee yet.
It usually does not get out of full committee and brought to the floor for a full vote.
Why is that?
Well, the Republican-controlled Florida legislature, it doesn't bring it. It has to be brought to the floor for a vote by the speaker, and it just doesn't seem to have had that traction. But it's going that way. Even Governor Scott has now softened his stance on accepting some of the monies related to implementing the Affordable Care Act post the November election,
right,
that clearly didn't go their way, in the Affordable Care Act, which was upheld by the Supreme Court,
right,
is going to be continually to be implemented. And Florida has really got to get behind its planning, because it is very much behind, because Florida waited to see what was going to happen and, in fact, sued over the implementation of the Affordable mm-hmm. Care Act.
We have an emailer, Adhara, would like to know, would the broadening of scope for advanced nurse practitioners also include certified nurse midwives and nurse practitioners working in the field of obstetrics and midwifery?
Most definitely.
Yes. Okay, there's the answer to that. Okay, that's Addie in Pembroke Pines.
And we'll move along with another caller. Oops. I accidentally knocked her off. She can call back. Nancy in Davie. Hello, Nancy.
Hi. I would just like to say that I see exclusively a nurse practitioner, and I love my nurse practitioners. There's not been one thing that my nurse practitioners have not been able to handle for me, with the exception that I was in a car accident and I needed some opioid painkillers. And they had to go to the doctor for that. And again, just like it was mentioned earlier, I got billed twice. And I think that's completely unfair. I have every I have every all respect for my nurse practitioners, and they have never led me to believe that they weren't confident in what they were doing and their knowledge. I have rheumatoid arthritis. My nurse practitioner now handles that for me, and I did do the whole, I went to a rheumatologist and all that stuff and got all my diagnoses and all that thing and everything, but now that I'm past that point, my nurse practitioner takes care of that for me, and I think it's silly that we don't allow them to, you know, prescribe medications for us, and I think it's ridiculous. I don't have insurance, so for me to get billed twice, you know, for having to have one medication is ludicrous, in my opinion. So I'm all for giving this passed, and I'm personally going to write to my representatives and try and get this pushed through committee so that the people can vote on it, because I'm willing to bet that most of Florida would vote for this bill.
Okay. Thank you for your call.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. You mentioned before that the AMA is not for broadening the scope of... No, you're shaking your head. Tell us why.
Nods don't work on radio.
Yeah.
The stance of the American Medical Association is not to expand the scope, because they always interpret part of what we do as nurse practitioners as practicing medicine. And we're very clear that we're not practicing medicine. We're practicing advanced nursing. They are very distinct fields of study. We are diagnosticians, though. We can diagnose, we can prescribe, but we do it from a nursing perspective and from a nursing knowledge base. The American Medical Association has had a long stance against the expanding the scope of practice. And like I said, most physicians don't belong to the AMA.
Do they have any valid reasons for opposing it, or is it all just...
One argument that has been put forward is, given the abuse of prescription drugs, the more people we have out there prescribing, the more likely we are to have abuse of prescription drugs. What I find very interesting is Florida is the only state that does not allow nurse practitioners to prescribe narcotics. And yet Florida has the highest rate of abuse of prescription drugs of any state in the United States.
Right.
So that
mill.
Doesn't
the
make
pill
sense.
Mills.
Yeah.
It's Topical Currents on WLRN. We're speaking with Dr. Aura Strickland and Dr. Sheldon Fields. And we need to take another short break. We'll be right back.
And we're back. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper, Bonnie Berman. We're talking about nurse practitioners. Both of our guests are from the FIU College of Nursing and Healthcare Sciences. Dr. Aura Strickland, she's the dean and also the assistant dean for clinical affairs and health policy, Dr. Sheldon Fields. Let's take a few more phone calls. This one is Robert in Miami. Thanks for your patience, Robert. Hi.
Hi, it's a pleasure. Good afternoon, all.
Hi.
Hi. I've got a comment and a question for you. As a medical professional, I noticed that many of the nurses don't mind being called doctor by their patient. And I'm wondering, is that a problem, especially that I have two scholars on the phone that are like to be called doctor, but I, as a patient, when I hear the word doctor, I think of MD or DO.
Okay,
I would. Something that could be looked at.
Yes, well, I would like
we
to.
We discussed this earlier, by the way.
Yes, go ahead, Dr. Strickland.
What the public needs to be aware of is that the term or title doctor is an academic title. Originally, it was only applied to people with PhDs. After physicians decided to get the medical doctor degree, they took that title on. But originally, it was intended for professors with PhDs. Now, the law as already written does not allow a nurse to present herself as a physician. Now, remember, the title doctor refers to whether you have a doctoral degree of some sort, and it does not refer to the fact as to whether you are a medical professional. It's really a degree title and not an occupation title.
But that's an academic response. Is there something in between that the public wouldn't be confused by?
Because nurse practitioner.
Technically, mm-hmm. You're both doctors.
That's, yes, we
but
are.
But you're not medical doctors.
Right. We're the real doctors with the PhDs.
No, because the law says very clearly that in a healthcare setting, you must identify yourself and your role. So when I introduce myself to patients, it goes something very simply like this. Hello, my name is Dr. Fields, and I am your nurse practitioner.
My son referred to his friends.
But if I'm in a hospital bed, then I'm thinking you're a doctor.
No.
Even though
no.
You added nurse practitioner.
Because as a nurse, by the time I'm done educating you, you will not.
Why wouldn't you say, I'm a nurse practitioner, my name is Dr. Fields?
That's what we do.
Okay.
That's exactly what we do.
I don't mean to split hairs here.
Yeah. Now, my son, when he was a little boy, he used to introduce me to his friends as, this is my mom, the nurse doctor. Children have such an amazing way of putting things
right.
So clear.
Right. Tell me, what are the potential cost savings from greater use of registered nurses over?
There's been several projections made about the overall lowered cost. The price point, case in point, a nurse practitioner does get paid less than a physician. So that whole issue about double billing to the system, about access points, it costs less to educate a nurse practitioner because we don't spend as much time in school.
Right.
It costs a lot more money to educate a physician. And we need to just find the proper balance. I'm not saying don't educate physicians. We need our physicians. We need to find the right balance and provide the best healthcare team that we can in order to provide the primary care services that our country is going to need.
I was talking to a colleague this morning, or he came to me because he knew we were covering this issue this morning, and he complained about going to his doctor this morning expecting to see his doctor. Instead, he was treated by not a registered nurse, but a physician's assistant. Mm-hmm. And his points of concern were, A, he wanted to see his doctor, not a physician's assistant. B, he said the physician's assistant exhibited a lack of professionalism. And C, he said it cost him the same as if he had seen the doctor. Can you address those issues?
Well, there are certain instances where if you want to see your physician, then you should be able to. That's very clear. But because there are not enough, again, primary care physicians, there's not enough doctors to go around. There just isn't. Not doing primary care. So those interim visits, say you may see your physician twice a year to have, you know, some type of, you know, in-depth conversation with him. But those in-between checkup visits are going to be made by what they're calling physician extenders, which isn't really a proper term, but a physician assistant.
And the shortage of primary care physicians is because it's more lucrative to specialize.
Yes.
That's right. Right.
Absolutely.
Now,
absolutely.
The other thing, too, the gap that nurse practitioners fill is nurse practitioners tend to love to give care to vulnerable populations. They're more likely to go to rural areas to practice, to inner cities to practice, where physicians are less likely to practice because there's a shortage of physicians.
Right.
Not on Park Avenue.
That's right.
No, there's a distribution problem. In terms of the where physicians are more likely to practice versus where there seems to be a higher concentration of nurse practitioners.
Do you have a position on case managers? I was reading about them. Are they involved in any of this?
Nurse practitioners do a lot of case management.
Okay.
Because we have that background as nurses. Remember, we have a foundation as nurses. And a lot of what you call in case management is really care coordination.
Right.
It's how we help people navigate through our very complex medical system, healthcare system. And we're really good at that as nurses, working in conjunction a lot of times with our social work colleagues.
Is it going to get more complicated now with the Affordable Care Act?
Yes and no. certain parts of it will get a little easier because we did health insurance reform. We still have to do healthcare system reform. Our healthcare system is still very much fragmented and broken and complex. And we need more people to help figure it out.
Yeah, I think people are a little baffled.
Let's take another quick call. This is Jonathan, Palm Beach Gardens. Hi there.
Hi. This is a question that the hostess just asked, and that is concerning, and I don't think it was answered, that's concerning cost. If I'm going to the doctor expecting to see the doctor, and I see the nurse practitioner, and yet when I check out and I'm presented with the same bill, the same co-payment as if I would have seen the doctor, I hardly think that's fair. It's as if I were hiring a master carpenter and the apprentice came to build my cabinet. And I don't think that was addressed or answered when the hostess asked it, so I'll take my answer offline.
Okay.
One of the things that the Affordable Care Act does is to some degree handles that problem. By the way, care will be paid for. Now, in the private system, the doctor has the right to charge you that way. And many of our healthcare facilities are run like private systems for, you know, payment, direct payment. And
if a patient complains, is that rectified?
It depends on where you go and who you talk to. But the Affordable Care Act will take care of a lot of that based on how health care will be paid. But I anticipate that there is going to be a private system sitting alongside the public system once the Affordable Care Act goes into full swing. And that as long as you're operating in the private system, that's probably going to be a problem.
So if my colleague this morning had said, I don't think I should pay the same thing for seeing a physician's assistant as I would to pay the doctor, would they make an accommodation?
My retort to that would be, what is the service you went to receive? Did you receive the service that you needed? If you got the service you needed, why should the payment not be the same? Because you expected to see somebody who had an MD and you didn't. If I provided you the same exact service, why should you not have paid what you needed to have paid?
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess it's just like what the caller asked. If he was going to hire a master carpenter and he got the apprentice, he didn't think he should have to pay the same thing.
But a nurse practitioner is not an apprentice.
That, well, this that's was a physician's assistant, so that was different.
That's
well,
a little different. It's well, a little different.
Well, my comment to that is we in the United States don't understand that health care is a commodity just like any other thing. If we went to a store and we ordered something through that store and we were dissatisfied, we would, at the drop of a hat, would complain. For some reason, we're reluctant to do this when these kind of things happen in
medicine. But isn't the whole idea behind, say, universal health care is that it's not a commodity? It's not like we're selling widgets. We're talking about human lives.
But as long as you're dealing with the private health care payment system, it's being dealt with like a commodity.
And we don't have universal health care in America. We don't.
But I mean, the rationale behind it is that we aren't commodities like widgets.
That's right.
That we're human beings and need health care and have a right to it.
That's why. And that's what the idea that the Affordable Care Act pushes. But given the way the system is set up now, you're paying a fee for service. If you're paying for a service, you ought to be satisfied with that service. And if you don't like that service, you should feel free to complain about it and tell them exactly what's wrong with the service and ask for remuneration if you're not satisfied. But for some reason, when it comes to health care in this country, people are reluctant to do that. But it's their right to do that.
Well, there's, you know, the image factor of people being afraid to challenge, especially a doctor or, I'm sure, a nurse practitioner. Because they're authority, and generally people have trouble with challenging authority, and especially doctors.
That's a very good point.
We're speaking with Dr. Aura Strickland from Florida International University and Dr. Sheldon Fields from Florida International University about the expansion of the scope of nurse practitioners on today's Topical Currents. One more short break, and we'll return.
And we return. It is today's Topical Currents. Joseph Cooper with you along with Bonnie Berman. And we resume our conversation about nurse practitioners. We've got quite a few callers, so let's get to them. This is Paul. He's in South Miami. Hi.
Hi, how are you? I'm very excited to hear about this discussion. And I just wanted to throw in that my daughter, who lives down the street, has three preschool kids. And I know if she sits down for dinner and one starts tugging on his ear, and it's a classic sign of an ear infection, she's so happy to be able to run the child down to the nurse practitioner at 6 or 7 o'clock at night and have it checked out and have a prescription for the antibiotic and be home in probably half an hour. Mm. And she's very, very happy with the nurse practitioners there. She has a wonderful pediatrician, but the pediatrician isn't available at that hour. Plus, it's probably another half an hour drive. And it's just a matter of convenience. And she has great confidence in their abilities and their availabilities. And just a final comment that given the physician shortage that we're in now, which is apparently national, but very acute here, as we bring in more people through the Affordable Care Act that are covered, we're going to be in a real crisis, if we're not already, for people to see these people. And I think nurse practitioners can see half or three-quarters of the issues that I ever go to a physician for could very easily be seen by a nurse practitioner and referred out. If he or she needs to thinks I need to see a physician, then I go see a physician. But I've been very happy every time I've seen a nurse practitioner at the various specialties where I've gone. So I just thought I'd make that contribution. I keep up the good work, you folks from FIU. We desperately need you, and keep giving us good nurse practitioners. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And we'll move along to Sean in Lighthouse Point. Hi.
Good afternoon to all of you, and thanks for the good topic. I have a background in medicine because I went to medical school, and I've gone to medical school with a few nurse practitioners that decided that they're tired of being a nurse practitioner and working under MDs, and they decided to go and get their MDs. However, I can tell you that my two little kids have been seen by a nurse practitioner for the last several years, and I've been extremely happy with it. However, on the contrary to that, is I have taken one of my child's to the emergency, to a local hospital here, and have seen a great disparity between bedside manners of a physician, which was exceptional, and a nurse practitioner that actually is an older nurse practitioner and has been around for a long time. And I've seen some stupendous and outrageous approach by a nurse practitioner that I haven't seen before. So I guess it all comes down to the individual and the background training and what sort of training the school gives to MDs and nurse practitioners in terms of bedside manners, how to deal with patients, how to approach patients, and how to do their job. So that's my contribution.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Any comment?
At FIU, we are very sensitive to that in the medical school as well as in the College of Nursing and Health Sciences. And in the College of Nursing and Health Sciences, we particularly focus on educating all of our nurses and all of our caregivers in the college to be culturally competent and compassionate. And we really put an emphasis on being compassionate.
And we move along to Florence. She's in Deerfield. Hi.
Hi, Joseph. Like your program very much. I'm an RN, professional RN, and my compliments to the nurse practitioner and or physician's assistants. They do a wonderful job. My caveat is that they don't know what they don't know. The amount of knowledge that a physician, a medical doctor, or DO has is so much broader, so much deeper, and their knowledge of pharmaceuticals, etc., that the patient really, if they think the nurse practitioner has that depth of knowledge, they're wrong. They don't. We don't. I've read medical books, I've read nursing books. There's no comparison. And I think that the patient
never implied that they were the same
as doctors. No. I'm not saying you did. I compliment you on what you do. But I do feel that the general public does not know that. And that with the new health care coming into being, that a lot of the insurance companies would much rather have substitute physicians treat the patients because they'll save a lot of money. And I think that the public needs to be educated. Patients need to be educated that nurse practitioners and physicians assistants have limited knowledge.
We're short on time. Could Dr. Ora Strickland can address that, I'm sure.
Yes. Nurse practitioners know their limitations. That's why we refer to medical specialists, and we highly regard and highly respect our medical specialist colleagues. We don't pretend to be specialists in the way that physicians are specialists.
How about a website for people who want more information about the FIU program, maybe perhaps be a student?
You can access us, either go right to www.fiu.edu, find the College of Nursing and Health Sciences web link there.
Or just Google.
Or Google
mm-hmm. us. Or just Google it, yes.
Well, we certainly want to thank you. We want to thank our callers. Sorry to Susanna and Fred and Lewis and Hans. We just didn't quite have enough time to get you on the air. We've been visiting with Dr. Ora Strickland, PhD, the Dean of FIU's College of Nursing and Healthcare Sciences, and also with Dr. Sheldon Fields, PhD, the college's Assistant Dean for Clinical Affairs and Health Policy. We certainly want to thank the both of you for coming down and participating on our program.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
This afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thanks for tuning in this hour. Our program is produced by Richard Ive, technical director from Caroline Brader Watts. Paul Leary is online producer. Tomorrow's program features Linda Gassenheimer, Fred Tasker, and food stars participating in the South Beach Wine and Food Festival. There are many events in many regional venues. And we have free audio archives and downloads of this and past programs at our website. That's WLRN.org. More info as well at the Topical Currents Facebook page. And an all-Florida calendar for February 20th. On this day in 1927, 86 years ago, the birth in Miami of the first black to win Best Actor at the Academy Awards, Sidney Poitier. Of Bahamian descent, he was born in Coconut Grove. And on this day in 1962, 51 years ago, astronaut John Glenn is launched from Cape Canaveral aboard Friendship 7, the first American to orbit Earth. He served in the U.S. Senate for 26 years, returned to space at age 77 aboard the space shuttle. Of the famed Mercury 7 astronauts, only he and Scott Carpenter survive. And now to the bullpen. On this day in 1993, 20 years ago, the Florida Marlins opened their first spring training camp in Brevard County. The opening day starter, of course, and winning pitcher was 44-year-old Charlie Huff. And where are you now, Junior Felix? The nation turns its lonely eyes to you. And we leave with a thought from John Glenn, quote, I don't know what you could say about a day in which you've seen four beautiful sunsets. This is Joseph Cooper with Bonnie Berman. Thanks for making public radio your companion today. Stay tuned now for the Talk of the Nation from NPR News.